Welcome to Above the Noise, a podcast at the intersection of faith, race, and reconciliation. And I'm your host, Grant Lee Martelli. If you're a regular listener to this podcast, you would know that I speak regularly on the topic of who is my neighbor. In many of our episodes, we talk about who is my neighbor with our guest. And I believe that this question, who is my neighbor, is the ultimate test of what it means to be a follower of Jesus Christ in the 21st century. I believe it has come full circle, and this one phrase and this one command that Jesus gave, love your neighbor as yourself, is going to be the ultimate test of whether people around us believe that we people of faith actually do love one another and we love other people who are not people of faith. How do we define our neighbor? Who is our neighbor? The world has come to our doorstep and is fully focused on this one component of who we are and those things that we claim to be people of faith. And this is not just a Christian issue. It is an issue for any person of faith, whether you're a Muslim or a Hindu or a Jew or whatever you consider your faith tradition to be. This is the ultimate test. The world is saying, show us that you love me. I am your neighbor. Show us that you love me as yourself, because Jesus said, the greatest commandment is to love our God with all our heart, soul, and mind, and to love our neighbor as ourselves. Some have come to our doorstep because we have invited us, because we've been talking about it so long. We've been invited them, and they have come to see. Some have heard and are watching to see, do they really mean this? Can they really live it out? Some have been brought by their friends, and others have remembered how they were raised, so they're coming back to see. They're peeking in to see, is that faith, is that lifestyle, are those people who claim to be the ones who have the answer actually able to love their neighbor as themselves and demonstrate that love? Some are angry and rightly justified. Others are just searching for hope. Nonetheless, they are here and they are calling our bluff. They are saying, show us that you really love your neighbor. They're here because of history, because the current state of the world, and because of all the things that we see and going on around us. Humanity still has this one desire, and that is hope. And that hope is usually expressed in love, unconditional love. Every human being desires hope. Literature, technology, academia, media, trade, globalism, colonialism, imperialism, communism, secularism, atheism, and tyranny have all failed to demonstrate this first attribute of hope, love in action. Hope for today and hope for tomorrow begins with love in action, and love in action is always demonstrated in love in community. For decades, possibly centuries, people, including people of faith, have broken this one command into two distinct entities, two distinct pieces, as though they're unrelated. We have separated it to say, love God and love your neighbor. And that is an incorrect quote. That is an incorrect statement. The two go together. And each time they're lived out in community and they're in unison. Love God, love your neighbor as yourself. If you're of the Christian faith, some of those texts are Mark 12:29-31, Luke 10:27, and Galatians 5:14. The command has not been separated into two distinctives. The descriptor as to how we should love our neighbor are always tied together. Love our neighbors as ourselves. But many times in modern society, in the 21st century, and in the European-centric form of Christianity and faith that we see in many places, we have broken that down. And we say, love God and love our neighbor, just not ourselves. I can love God, I can love my neighbor. But when we leave off the ourselves, it changes the meaning. It changes it from what was meant. Because to love someone as ourselves means that we have to be willing to think of them as a human being on equal footing as us, with equal rights, with equal abilities, with equal access as we do. And therefore, it changes when we just say, I love my neighbor, we don't have to give them that equal footing. So the ultimate test of the faith believer today is that, is bringing it completely together. Yes, I love God. Yes, I'm a person of faith. But now, can I love my neighbor as myself? The two words in that phrase, as myself, makes a whole world of difference in the application. You see, if I love as myself, my neighbor as myself, it means that I want for them the same things that I want for me. It means that if I don't want things to be done to me or to my family or to my children or to my brothers or my sisters, in terms, I don't want it to be done to my neighbor because I love them as myself. It means that what I do not want to happen in my neighborhood, I shouldn't want to happen in another person's neighborhood. Because how do we define a neighbor? The easiest definition is that a neighbor is a person who lives next door to us. But Jesus demonstrated that that's not the full meaning. The neighbor is anyone that he brings into our sphere of influence at any time for any purpose. That person is our neighbor. Whether it's the person across the street or the person behind us or the person at work or the person at church or the person in the supermarket or the person across the entire world. The widow, the orphan, the refugee, those are all our neighbors, as well as the person who we grew up with and who we live with, who we work with. It means that if I don't want to go hungry, then it's not okay for my neighbor to go hungry. It means that if I don't want to be enslaved, then I shouldn't want my neighbor to be enslaved. It means that if I want access to healthcare and doctors when I'm sick, then I should want access to healthcare and doctors for my neighbor when he or she is sick. Loving my neighbor as myself means that if I want to have access to transportation, good jobs, and business opportunities, I should also want that for my neighbor. If I want my children to attend good schools, then I should want my neighbor's children to attend good schools and not having to be bussed across town or taken here or taken there and getting an inferior education. If I want not to fear for my life when I walk the streets or when I'm stopped by a police officer, then I should not want that for my neighbor. It should not be okay for them to live their lives in fear. Attaching the words as myself, in essence, drives a stake in the heart of egotism, self-centeredness, hatred, greed, tyranny, discrimination, prejudice, injustice. Now, for some, it has been easy to hide behind the spiritual, moral, and political elitism as a cloak for ignoring injustice and disenfranchisement. It's easy to say that we're all the same when we have the power and the privilege to back it up. It's easy to sit in the cloistered halls of intellectualism and pastoral studies and devise multisyllabic words that promote intellectual dishonesty and Phariseeism disguised as correct doctrine. It's easy to be guardians of institutional prejudices above addressing the need for spiritual and social reform. But in the end, Jesus said we will be judged not by what we say, but by what we do. He didn't say we will be judged by what we argue and how well we can articulate it and write it in books. You will be judged by what you do. When you saw me sick and hungry and naked, what did you do? He called us to defend the rights of the poor and the exploited, to give to those in need and to dispense justice in Proverbs 31:10. These actions call for a broader definition of my neighbor than those who live in my neighborhood, who are in my country club, on my PTA board, or attend my place of worship. The one next door is a neighbor. However, this is a small and easily manipulated view of who a neighbor is. We must have a global perspective. Our neighbor, yes, is the person across the street, like I said, but it's the neighbor across town, across the highway, across the country, across the globe. Neighbor not only includes the poor, the widow, and the oppressed. Yes, it also includes the middle class and the rich, the business person, the person of privilege, the person of opportunity. But it also includes those of alternate lifestyles and sexual preferences, those who have similar faith and those who have different faith, and even those without faith. Proverbs chapter 22, verse 2 says, "The rich and the poor have this in common. The Lord made them both." And when we realize that the Lord made them both, then we have to apply that. If the Lord made them both, then how do I love my neighbor as myself? When Jesus spoke of our neighbor, he demonstrated it what he meant. The leper, the outcast, the woman who was unclean, the Samaritan, the widow, the orphan, the prostitute. And yes, he also went to the middle class and the wealthy. You remember the story of the rich young ruler, or the tax collector, or the Roman soldier, the centurion. All of these Jesus included in his definition of a neighborhood. He refuted the disciples' prejudices against women, against Samaritans, and against the refugees. He refuted the religiously pious prejudices against the poor, the publican who was a tax collector, or the person who worked for the government, the incarcerated, and the sinner. All of those he welcomed into the neighborhood, into who is the definition of my neighbor. If the global pandemic has taught us anything, it has taught us that we are all connected, for good and for bad, in sickness and in health. We are all neighbors, whether rich or poor, or black or white, Asian or African. Sickness and disease is no respecter of persons. However, some people have better access to healthcare than others, and that can help determine our outcomes of who lives and who dies, who gets immunized and who may not get immunized, or when they get immunized and when and which place in the line they have. To admit that some people have better access to healthcare, education, or food is not to make other people victims. It's to recognize that the resources need to be adjusted to ensure that everyone has access. Some may choose not to use that access, but at least they had the opportunity to choose not to use it. That's another thing from not having access at all. The only reason that we see the negative disparities in communities around the world and in the United States, and we're seeing it now, the pandemic has amplified these. Most of those disparities exist because of greed and institutional barriers established to benefit some people above others. From a resource standpoint, there's plenty of resources to go around, and enough for all to have some, for everybody to have a piece of the pie, for everybody to have a seat at the table. However, some are greedy and selfish, and they look at the world as either or. If I must have, then you should not have. But the truth and the fact is that there are plenty of resources to go around. Who is my neighbor? If the cause for racial and social reform has taught us anything, is that all of us are not treated equally. Cause for racial and social equality does not make victims out of people. The global movement now gives this voice to the voiceless. It helps us to speak up for those who may not have had the opportunity or the time or the resources to be able to come and to speak out publicly. It gives names and places to those who have suffered, and it exposes systemic structures that can be easily manipulated. And if they can be easily manipulated, they can be easily dismantled if we just remember these two words, as ourselves. As Jesus said, If you see your brother naked and tell him to pull up himself by his own bootstraps, you have only perpetuated the problem. The person is not a victim. They just need a shower and some clothes and something to eat. That person we help may be the one who holds the cure for cancer, may be the one who may save our life on another day. The term as ourselves begs the questions, how do I want to be seen and how would I want to be treated if I had the same opportunities as other people? If I had the same opportunity to achieve my full potential without having to navigate additional barriers. There will always be barriers and challenges, but we don't need to add additional ones that don't need to be there. And we definitely don't need barriers that exist at the expense of other people. In Proverbs 21, verse 13, it says, the one who shuts his ear to the cry of the poor will himself also call out and not be answered. Someday, those who are turning the blind eye and turning their ear away from the cries of the poor, Proverbs says, will someday call out and someone will not answer. People of faith, our bluff has been called. We either stand up and deliver, or we go down as frauds and hypocrites. The accusers are already at the gate. The lines have been drawn and the cases have been filed. The court of public opinion is already in session and we are on trial. Can we get beyond Western and cultural syncretism and demonstrate clearly and unequivocally that we, people of faith, can truly and demonstrably love our neighbors as ourselves? I'd love to hear from you. Please write me at abovethenoise24@gmail.com or write a comment in the site where you're listening to this podcast. I'd love to share with you. Go to our Facebook page or Instagram, and let us continue this conversation. But I believe that we can stand up and we can be counted as truly honest people because God has given us the capacity to love our neighbor as ourselves. We must choose to go beyond our society, go beyond our community, go beyond our tradition, go beyond our culture, go beyond our natural tendency to isolate ourselves, and step out and realize that there's a whole world out there and people are good people. They're welcoming people and we can have beautiful relationships, relationships that we have never even thought about. If we just get beyond ourselves and get beyond our greed and get beyond the need for wanting things for ourselves and not to share with others, not to have this mentality of hoarding that if I have, my neighbor cannot have, because the truth is we can both have. And when we share what we have with those around us, we build a stronger community. Thank you for listening. Above the Noise is available on all major podcast hosting sites. You can also leave us a review on any one of those sites or send us an email to abovethenoise24@gmail.com. abovethenoise24@gmail.com. You can also follow us on Facebook or on Instagram.